That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.
Have you ever eaten at a Michelin star rated restaurant?
You know, if I have, I didn't know it when I did. Possibly, I guess. They're kind of rare, right?
Yeah, so they just put out the list of the Michelin star rated restaurants for the year. And I'm always fascinated by it, mostly because like I come from a family of restaurant people. My dad owns restaurants.
So let me understand, Joe, just before you tell me. So does it mean that they add some every year and from then on those are Michelin star restaurants? Or is it like every year you'd have to be recertified or whatever?
No, you can lose your rating, all that. But even if you get it once, it is a huge honor to be able to get one.
And I think, so then like, you're like known as one then.
Right. And all the standard, like you can get up to 3 Michelin stars. And Masa, that came in number one this year, has joined the ranks of having 3.
Here's the thing I know. I'm never getting a reservation there.
Well, right. But what's the most amount of money you've ever paid for a meal?
Ooh. You know, I mean, they're not top of the line places, regular places, but like Smith and Wilinski or, you know, like Jordan's.
Yeah. It's got to be a steakhouse.
I've rung up something pretty large at a steakhouse before. You throw in a good bottle of wine or drinks all night or a table full of people. And you'll get up there.
Right. But per person. This is what I was trying to think. If my husband and I, what is the most expensive that we've ever had a dinner?
Per person.
Two of us. Like, yeah, just the two of us.
Yeah, probably 300, 400.
Okay.
That's quite a bit. There's a seafood tower in there, too. Yeah.
One night I made a mistake. We were young. I would say we were probably like in our mid-20s at the time. And we went out for Valentine's Day. We went to this fancy restaurant.
Oh, boy.
And rookie mistake. I went to go order the wine, and I pointed at the wrong wine bottle. It was like the number right underneath it.
Oh,
I did it. So we ended up getting the check, and it was $700. For the two of us to eat.
Yeah.
But it's because the wine I had ordered was $400.
Yeah.
Yes. And we didn't realize it. And then we were like, I mean, you know, at first we were like, oh, my God. You know, and when we realized what happened, we're like, all right, what are you going to do at this point? We drank it.
Totally.
And his whole thing was, we would have enjoyed the wine more.
I mean,
if we would have known.
I don't know if that's a thing, but maybe you would have tried to savor it more.
So this restaurant, Masa, in New York City, they have like a tasting menu. They're middle line one is $750 per person.
Wow.
$950 for the one that includes the sushi, because this is a Japanese restaurant.
This is like a price fixed menu, basically. They would bring you different, you know, parts of their menu in different courses.
Yeah.
Wow.
The tasting menu.
$750
and $900? $950. $750 and $950 for the sushi one. And, you know, and I look at these and I think, that doesn't look like a lot of food, you know, because it's all like the little tiny fancy
tiny
food.
Portions. Right.
And then it's like the corkage free. So if you want to bring your own bottle of wine, they charge you $200 per bottle with a maximum of 2 bottles to bring it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like I don't understand how you, even if you're wealthy, how do you afford to just go have dinner there?
Yeah, you can't do it every week.
I mean, every week. I think that's like a once in a lifetime kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
To be able to spend that much money on one dinner.
Well, if Celine Dion ever asks me to dinner, right?
Yeah.
Or Elton John and I run into each other on the street and he says, are you hungry? Anything like that, I guess that's the time that I'll be most hopeful to go to these type of places. Other than that, I'm going to steer clear.
I hope my credit card clears. Amy Schumer has been all over the news because she was posting pictures of herself and people were quick to jump in the messages and say that there's something wrong with her. Turns out they were right. Let's check in with the experts.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider. The Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, this story is kind of crazy because people were saying that there was something wrong and then there was.
The media can be so critical of women and women's bodies. And I think now that social media is everywhere and we see pictures of everybody doing everything from going to the grocery store to literally going to the bathroom. If you have like a change in your appearance, people are going to notice right away. And that's what happened. She was doing press for her new show, Life and Beth. And there was like a media firestorm. You know, she looked like something was wrong, but you're exactly right. Something is wrong. And she's suffering from something called Cushing syndrome,
What is Cushing syndrome?
My dog has it, right? I know it sounds crazy.
My dog has
Cushing's, and yeah, it's got something to do with your body developing too much cortisol.
That's exactly right. So Cushing syndrome happens when the body has too much of the hormone cortisol for a long period of time, and this can result from the body making too much of this hormone or from taking medicines that are called glucocorticoids, which affect the way the body like metabolizes cortisol. So Raven's dog definitely has endogenous Cushing syndrome. Something inside the dog's body is making too much cortisol. When it comes to Amy Schumer, she has been taking synthetic steroids over a period of time, and as a result, she has something called exogenous, which just is a fancy word for outside the body, exogenous Cushing syndrome.
So if you get something like this, how do you know? What are the warning signals? Obviously, people looked at her and they were like, there's something, her face looks off. And that was kind of what triggered it.
Well, they were talking about how puffy she was. And this is part of the tricky thing, because I don't know about with people, but in dogs, it triggers like an insatiable hunger, basically. So,
really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that could cause an effect here. Like, you could be swelling, but you could also be eating.
That's interesting about the dog, actually. Does the dog's face look puffier, Raven?
You know, I don't know. He's got a full beard. He's got too much hair.
So what are some warning signs besides being puffy?
All right. So these are some of the red flags. So if you notice that you have weight gain specifically in your face, in medicine they call it moon face. Your face really sort of looks circular and very, very round. And so Amy Schumer definitely has that. If you notice, if you compare pictures of what she looks like now to what she looked like the last time, Life and Beth, for the last season, her face looks totally different. Also, weight gain in the trunk with thin arms and legs. So you have like a lot of thickness in the trunk and abdomen area and the chest area, but the arms and legs aren't affected at all. Another thing is called a buffalo hump, which is a fatty lump between the shoulders. And another symptom would be acne, slow wound healing, thin, frail skin that bruises easily, and then pink or purple stretch marks on the stomach, hips, thighs, breasts, or underarms. Increased appetite is another symptom of Cushing's, so similar to Raven's dog. A lower sex drive, difficulty getting pregnant, muscle weakness, tiredness, depression, anxiety, and these may be secondary symptoms as well.
Is it normal the first thing I did was get my phone and get to the camera, put it in selfie mode, and look at my face and try to see if I look like a moon? The first thing I did. I feel like every time you hear about these new diseases, you can't believe that there's another one, and it's another different one that you've never heard of before.
Well, I just, you know, long-term effects with Cushing's, I don't know what they would be for Amy Schumer. Again, I think a lot depends on why it is that she's getting it. She's getting this outside source or the trigger for this. You know, is that something they can pull back on by changing her medications and steroid usage now?
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenna. You want to learn more about Dr. Jennifer Wider? You can head to her website, drwider.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Observations of things that drive you crazy. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. Kelly, that's all I need to know about you.
If you meet someone online and without even meeting them in person, you're convinced you love one another, that's all I need to know about you.
Happens all the time.
Oh, gosh. I always wonder what happened in those conversations that all of a sudden there's love for somebody you've never met before in your life, you never had a real conversation with, right?
I mean, if you have shared interests, if you have strong shared interests, so much goes into conversation. Like half the shows that they're putting on TV now, you're meeting your match without ever seeing them.
But how do you know you have chemistry with the person without meeting them, right? Or
I mean, that when you get to a certain amount of chemistry, you got to make out at some point.
Well, that's obviously super important. But also, like, you don't know what they're like when, you know, they're just living their life, whether they're messy or clean or, you know, like everybody's putting on their best face when they're online.
Dating their representative.
I just think it's ridiculous.
Sure.
Steve, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are uncomfortable with your spouse having an OnlyFans and making money off it, that's all I need to know about you. Now, caveat, if you advertise your OnlyFans on your car while you're dropping off your children at Christian school, that's crossing a line.
I did see that.
That was a big story last week, I remember. So, one, I think I'd be upset if my husband had an OnlyFans page. It would depend on what the photo was on the page.
Right. Can I see his face?
Right.
Is he making money off feet pics?
Is it just his feet? Like, okay. You know?
The feet thing is like the new thing that we're accepting the feet thing.
Right. All of a sudden, that's normal.
Yeah. If you're a hand model, if you're doing something with your feet,
that's
whatever.
Okay.
I don't care what you're doing.
Perfect. You have great ankles. You want to show them off. Okay.
No faces.
Right. All the other stuff, I think I would have a problem with.
Yeah.
Like, if my husband is a regular finance guy working a regular corporate job, and then he comes home one day and says, I make all this money on OnlyFans, I'd be like, how much money? And then we would go from there.
You'd have to decide.
Right.
You'd have to decide whether or not you were staying together or not.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I got no problem with people making money, and I got no problem with people making money off private, intimate stuff like that. I mean, if it's their choice. The advertisements, the full windows, stickers, and all that stuff is probably a bit much for the school drop-off line.
I
gotta
say,
like, I mean, there's gotta be a better way to get your advertisement out there.
I just, like, what? Like, I don't know how she put that on her car and went to go drop her kids off at school. And I'm not a judgy person.
Yeah.
But that's crossing a line. That's embarrassing.
It seemed like a bit much to
me. How about if you're that child? That's your mom.
Yes.
You know?
It seemed like a bit much.
Yep.
On the other hand, shaming of all these things. I don't know where I stand on it. Again, I've got no problem with you making money however you want to. You're an adult. It's legal. What would I have a problem with that? I'm not jealous of that. Well, I am jealous if you're making money off your feet. But the advertising, a bit much. Put it on the other car. Don't drop your kids off in that car.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
What is the strangest thing a stranger has ever asked you to do? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, this past weekend we were away at this water park. And I was standing with all the kids, and they were running around, and it was chaos. And this mom, there was, like, the community bathroom area, and she had a stroller, and the baby was sleeping in the stroller. And it was, like, packed. There was, like, a million people there. And she looked at me because I was just kind of standing off to the side. She goes, do you mind watching my baby really quick while I run into the bathroom?
That's so weird.
And I was just like, okay. You know? And I was like, yeah, all right. And the baby was very cute. Very cute and sleeping.
And asleep.
Okay. Like asleep in a stroller. And I'm like, I get it. Like to go to the bathroom when you're a mom, when you have a baby in a stroller and it's just you, it's hard enough to get the stroller inside the door, but then to get it inside the stall and all that.
Right.
But I was like, part of me was flattered that she thought that I wasn't going to steal her baby.
You
like,
look trustworthy enough.
Exactly. Right.
How does she know all the kids you have are yours?
Well, that's
you
know? True.
What if they're all stolen kids?
Fair question.
She's probably like, she's surrounded by kids between the ages of 5 and 15 running around like maniacs. Like, she's got this under control.
Cameras,
you know?
Security guards. There's really no escape here.
And it was fast. Like, she ran in, like, you know, 2-3 minutes later. But as I was standing there, I was like, this is weird. It's really weird.
That's so weird. And actually, you know what? The same thing kind of happened to me one time, except I was at a bar. I was at a bar, and there's a spot down the street from my house where my son James is 4. He likes to play the pinball machine there. I take him to play the pinball machine. There's another kid there who was kind of just goofing around. And I think it was the uncle of the kid comes over. It's just like, yo, I gotta run across the street for a thing. They're playing. Can they just play for a minute? I'm like, yeah, bro, you don't know me from Adam, but all right, man, go ahead. And he runs. He was gone for like 5 minutes. That's these funny. Kids are just playing. Like,
the
how
uncles.
Are you going to trust me? Yeah, the uncle, right?
That's the thing. Mm. The uncle babysitter, right, who takes the kid to the bar. You know, I mean, I think the bar setting is a little bit different.
Right, yeah, especially when he was like, oh, look, here's another dad bringing their kid to the bar.
Right.
This is totally fine. Watch my kid while I go across
right.
the street.
Look, we're basically related.
Yeah.
Look at us. Right. We're doing the same crazy thing. I think that there's nothing more uncomfortable than when somebody asks you to move something with them, right? So, like, if you've ever been, like, you live in an apartment building or a condo complex or whatever, and here comes a stranger, and they're moving in, and they're like, hey, would you mind giving me a hand with this couch? And you're like, I don't even know if I like this person.
Right.
Like, I mean, and now I'm hung up on this thing with this couch here. I once got asked by a neighbor to help move a couch. The couch wouldn't fit down the hallway. So now we're stuck. Now I'm with this person all this time. And, you know, you would think that, you know, there's funny exchanges. We're caught up in this moment together. We're going to be friends after that. Nope. We weren't friends after that.
Well, you're strangers.
I mean, I dedicated like 45 minutes of my life to this person. And if you're moving, by the way, and you have a carload or a truckload of stuff, where are all your friends? Because that's a question that I have.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
Right? Like,
yes.
It's a question. It's like, why doesn't this person have friends?
You know, I'll never forget this time. I was like in my early or mid-20s, and some lady, when I was coming out of a store, randomly asked me if I could park her car for her.
Wow.
And I don't know, like...
Wouldn't happen nowadays.
No. Right. Secondly, it was my early and mid-20s, you know? I was partying a lot, so there's no way, like, if I looked at me, I'd be like, he's not touching my car.
Yeah.
It's a strange request, having somebody to do mind parking my car. I've thought about it before when it's really bad weather, pulling up to the door and asking one of you guys to go park it for me, because we have to, like, the parking lot.
But you know us. We work together.
It's true.
I did, however, think for a moment in that car, going, should I just take this car?
I was just going to ask you. I mean, Sean, you in your early 20s, tell me for a minute you didn't think about stealing that
I would be considerate about what was in that trunk, possibly. They were like, oh, yeah, no, he moved the car. It's definitely his car now.
What's the strangest thing a stranger has ever asked you to do? 1-800-330-9999. A mom had her baby in a stroller and asked me to watch her baby while she ran into the bathroom. We were at this water park. Mm. And at the time, it really didn't seem awkward until she was actually in there. And I realized I was watching a sleeping baby and I did not know who that baby was. And then it felt a little bit weird, you know?
Somebody comes up and goes, whose baby is this? What's this baby's name? No answers.
No clue.
No answers whatsoever.
I could have named that baby anything I wanted.
It's awkward.
Oliver, what was the strangest thing a stranger asked you to do?
What comes to mind is actually something that happened just this summer. I was at an ice cream place with my wife, and this dad and his kid were like, they had their ice cream. The dad asked us to hold the ice cream while he took the kid into the bathroom, which is not so weird. Mm. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, you're holding somebody's food, essentially. But what was weird is, like, they went in there, and the kid must have made a mess or something, because they were in there for so long.
Oh.
That we're standing there with our ice cream and their ice cream. It starts melting. My wife's holding it, and it's just dripping down her hand. I start licking it. I don't want it to drip all over me. I'm literally going, like, do I just throw these things away?
Yes.
And then, you know, yeah. I mean, then they come out, and it was, you know, it was ridiculous. And then the dad's all offended that I've been licking the kids. He wasn't.
Well,
super,
one, I mean, it's weird that you're licking another person's ice cream cone. Like, you have to either go get a cup from the place that you're at and put the ice cream upside down in the cup, but you can't just eat somebody's ice cream.
I mean, once you start licking it, it belongs to you. But I do share your aggravation with somebody asks you to hold something and then they walk away and it becomes like a long thing.
Yes.
Like, forget that. Like, if you ask me to hold something, I'm going to give you 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, time's up.
Yep.
Don't ask a stranger to hold something longer than 15 seconds, right?
Right.
Unless it benefits both of us. Unless it's something that, you know, basically is going to save the planet. Hold your ice cream? Nope, not happening.
Gary, what's the strangest thing a stranger has ever asked you to do?
Well, let's see. I was in Walmart, and two ladies asked me to help them choose a juicer. And I was like, well, you know, realize I don't work here. And they're like, we don't care. So I was like, well, okay. So I instantly became an expert on juicers. And I said, you know, this is the name brand, and you're paying for the nameplate on this. Now, this one has a slightly smaller impeller and filter screen, see here. But you're going to save $50, and it's probably worth it. And they were like, well, thank you so much. And I was like, wow, I should probably apply for a job here.
And then you walked away, and they bought whichever one was their impulse anyways, right?
I always think it's funny when you're in public. I know that women do this a lot in clothing stores. Where if you're trying on stuff, they'll be like, oh, that looks great on you. But like, what do you think this looks like? Do you think this is my color? And I always feel uncomfortable when a woman asks me, like, do you like this? Because, like, I can't say no.
Right. You have to say yes.
Yes, because at that point, if you have already asked me in your mind you like it,
right.
Like, what am I going to say? No, it looks terrible on you? Of
Here's the
not.
Thing about juicers. They all leak.
Oh.
Doesn't matter which juicer you got, the good one, the bad one, bro. 10 uses in, that juicer is leaking. So you know what? You're going to be the guy that they blame. Just like the person who buys the outfit that Anna told them was so gorgeous. They're going to blame you both. Just walk by like you heard nothing.
Just keep my eyes closed.
That's it.
What is the strangest thing a stranger has ever asked you to do? 1-800-330-9999. I watched a stranger's baby this weekend while mom went to the bathroom.
Mm.
It was weird, but then it was also like, all right, well, yeah, we're just people helping out other people. That's not so weird, right?
Well, that's the great thing to say once it works out. But if it doesn't, well, that's different.
Jack, what's the strangest thing a stranger asked you to do?
I was on a ferry, and I sparked up a conversation with this, like, middle-aged couple. I guess thought I was good-looking, and they asked in the... The husband asked me to sleep with his wife.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, wow. No. Oh, no.
Nice.
No, what do you mean nice? How terrible and awkward. And yeah. You're on a ferry.
I was speechless. I was like, I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But good luck with that in the future, though.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said no. That was the right decision. I'm really proud of you. Too.
Mike, strangest thing a stranger asked you to do, what was it?
And was it on a ferry?
All right, so weird thing was I was in my late 20s, and I'm at the gas station pumping gas. This girl comes up to me, looked like she could be 21. She was like, hey, could you run in? Could you get me beer? I can't get it. That little voice to the back of my head was like, do not do it.
Right.
Don't do it. Nothing good's going to come out of it. So I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not taking that chance. A couple weeks later, I'm reading in the paper that my town where this happened, they were doing an undercover sting with police. They had a 16-year-old going around asking to buy alcohol.
Yeah.
And they were cracking down on selling to minors. And I'm like, thank God I said no.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like a couple things were out of whack here. I don't think you could send a 16-year-old into the fray to be like, oh, yeah. Undercover, this ain't 21 Jump Street, but...
You don't think so?
No.
No?
Imagine if you're the 16-year-old's parent. No.
What if the police pay you to do it, like it's a job?
No!
It's like working at Baskin-Robbins.
No, it's definitely not. No, it is not.
They do that. They will have...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe get the 22-year-old that looks like the 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're supposed to do. I mean,
well, Mike, I'm also proud of you for not doing it.
Good job, Mike. Good job, Mike.
Well done.
Thank you.
Hi, Gladys. What's the strangest thing a stranger asked you to do?
At the casino, I was with my mom, who at that time was 83 or something like that, and somebody asked if my mom could just stay in the line and cash their $15,000 that they won on the casino.
Yeah.
And but the thing is that they were going to give my mom $500, and yeah. She said, I want to keep playing. Let's make the line. So
wait a minute. So she did do it?
Oh, yes.
She got the $500 just for standing in line?
Yeah, but then you had 15 grand added to your
income. He made the line.
Like, that was a terrible choice.
Doreen, what's the strangest thing a stranger has ever asked you to do?
I was in the grocery store, and they asked me to scratch their back.
Oh, that's gross.
Ew.
That's gross.
Oh, no.
Listen, if it hadn't been for the fact that she was the cutest little old lady, I never would have done it. I would have run. But she was adorable, and she was humped over, and she was in her complete winter attire and probably couldn't reach the spot anyway.
I mean, I can't reach my spot. Are you kidding me?
I didn't mind, and she gave me a great big hug after I did it for her. So I felt like
I did
my good deed for the day.
Now you're
the
senior citizen scratcher as far as the grocery store is concerned. People saw you do that, and now they're like, oh, that lady will scratch anybody.
Just ask her. I would ever scratch a stranger's back.
No.
No.
I don't think so. Same here. Yeah. I mean, I barely asked my wife to scratch my back. It feels so good.
Here it comes. It's the Craigslist Price is Right.
Laura, today we're giving you the opportunity to win yourself an Anna and Raven custom Stanley Cup. It is absolutely glorious. I love this cup.
Don't put it in the dishwasher. I don't trust it.
I mean, I don't trust it in the dishwasher either, but I think it's a lovely cup. Laura.
Amazing.
We are going to play an easy game today. It is amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We're going to play Craigslist Price is Right. Anna is going to describe for us both an item that is for sale right now on Craigslist. I'm going to take a guess at the price. All you have to do is correctly identify whether my guess is higher, lower than, or equal to the listed price. Do that correctly, and you're going to have the most gorgeous cup that was ever created. I mean, besides the Holy Grail. But it's close runner-up.
Sounds good.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Laura. Posted 11 days ago. Dun, 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 dun. It is sign-waving mannequin advertising sign spinner display.
Oh, my gosh. If this is what I think it is, I was fooled by one of these before at a local seafood shack. I thought they had a girl standing out in sub-zero temperatures. I was going to call somebody.
This is exactly what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Introducing, this is what the comments read, Laura. Introducing our sign-waving mannequin advertising sign spinner display, the ultimate attention-grabbing solution for your business signage needs. This battery-operated advertising tool is designed to captivate and engage your target audience, ensure maximum visibility for your brand, and features a lifelike modern design. It's a mannequin. It is like a mannequin that you see at a store that is holding a sign that spins.
It's battery powered. That is strange. Does it happen to be wearing a blue lobster suit? Because if so, it's that same place.
Well, this one says that whatever clothing is available at time of purchase is what it'll come with. But you do get to choose if you want it to be brunette or blonde. And both options, I can assure you, are alarming.
Well, you know, that increases the price.
Yeah. Is there any other description?
Yes, it says the sign will run for approximately 15 to 20 hours between charging.
Okay. Charges. So it's a rechargeable battery at the very least. Okay.
Yes.
Can I see some photos?
Oh, God. Do you really want to?
Oh, yes. I need to.
The blonde or the brunette? Who do you want to see?
Wow. I don't know. Let's whatever comes up first. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. This might be, seriously, the same sign-waving style mannequin from the shop. Yeah. All right, give it to me in blonde. Let me see that.
It's just wearing a different color wig.
All right, you sure you don't have her in a blue lobster suit?
No, this looks like Britney Spears.
I'm going to go with, it's a mannequin. It's an addition to the front of your place. I'm going $450. $450 just feels right.
Laura, do you think the actual retail price of the sign waving mannequin advertising sign spinner display is more than $450? Is that what you said?
I said $450.
$450, less than $450, or is that the actual retail price?
I think it is more than.
You would be correct, Laura. Actual retail price of this freaky thing is $995.
$995.
Only almost $1,000 to have a weirdo mannequin with a battery strapped to its back spinning a sign in your front yard.
Do I get both wigs?
No, only one. You have to choose. I told you.
The good news is, Laura, you get the world's most beautiful cup besides the Holy Grail.
Awesome.
Enjoy it. We'll have another chance for you to play coming up tomorrow. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Today, all about two women that are making the news. First is a woman that she goes by the name Risa Tisa online, and she talks about how she met this guy in 2020, fell in love, and eventually married him. And this is a 50-part TikTok, I guess, playlist is the only way to describe it. Mm. Here she is.
Hi, and welcome. We all know why you're here. You're here for part of the new series that I am calling Who Did I Marry? I'm going to create this playlist series and I'm going to tell the story of how I met, dated, married, and divorced a real pathological liar.
Last week when it was released, it had over 200 million views. I was checking last night because I was starting and it has to have doubled that by now. People are obsessed with this.
And this is kind of amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody binge watches things from time to time, but to have your own platform here, no longer need producers, no longer need this, need that, you know, to garner that type of attention on a story that you have like that. She may be quite brilliant, as a matter of fact, to do it this way.
It's really smart. Because what she did is
She owns everything.
She owns everything. She's getting advertising. She's getting all of it. And all she did was record 50 parts. They're about, 10 minutes each, talking about everything that happened that's completely true. And when you listen
feels
to
like
it,
therapy.
It's like an audiobook. You just listen to it like an audiobook.
Brilliant.
And people are saying they're skipping work because they can't wait to find out what happens next.
I mean, this guy's a clown. This guy's a fool.
Well, right.
Oh, my God. She's going to be wealthy.
Well, so that's that. Everybody's watching that. So when you hear Risa Tisa and who the beep did I marry, that's what everyone's talking about. It's on TikTok.
Yeah, prepare to do nothing the rest of your workday now that we've given you the name.
So Martha Stewart posted this last night, and I was like, this can't be real. But med students at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine got a huge surprise yesterday.
I'm happy to share with you that starting in August this year, the Albert Einstein College of Medicine will be tuition-free.
How can the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York possibly be tuition-free? Because of 96-year-old Ruth Gottsman. Her husband passed away in 2022, and he left her behind a surprise. $1 billion in Berkshire Hathaway stock.
Wow.
She had no idea. I mean, they were a wealthy family anyway, you know, and she was on the board at Albert Einstein College. And when in the 60s, her husband was really good friends with Warren Buffett. So she had bought the stock really early on.
Mm.
And he said to her, right in the will, whatever, said, do whatever you think you should do with this money. And she has decided to give it to the college so that it will be tuition free. So all these medical students that are coming in don't have to worry about all the medical debt of college after they graduate.
Well, it's go incredible. Out there and change the world.
Yes.
Get out there and cure cancer. Do something big. Don't be an idiot. I'm just going to say it's an incredible gift. That's great.
When I heard it and then I heard these kids, I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, imagine being able to change that many lives, not just today, But for going forward for all these years, it's just absolutely incredible.
Do something amazing with that.
Who's had their check engine on light on the longest? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Raven, this morning I got in my car and it wouldn't start.
Oh.
And it did the thing where it was like,
really?
Ch-ch-ch-ch. And then I did it again. Ch-ch-ch-ch. And then I got like nervous because it's never happened.
Yeah.
So I did the auto start on my key to see what would happen.
Okay.
And it started, but it was shaking. Right?
Good.
And I was like, I'm not taking this car.
Yeah.
So
I mean, at that point, I would have ruled it out.
But then it seemed okay. So I got out and I got into our other car and I texted my husband who was still asleep. And I said, I'm taking the other car. Something's wrong with this car. When she replied, well, if it started, why didn't you just take it? I go, if the check engine light is on, you don't drive a car, right?
Well, I mean, you can, certainly. It tells you basically that you're supposed to go to the shop, and nowadays you can just go to an auto store and they'll plug it into a computer and tell you what's wrong with it. I mean, it depends on how bad it might be, how bad it might feel. Yours felt rough, so I wouldn't do it. If it's red, I know that that's bad.
Yeah. Yolanda, how long has your check engine light been on?
For a month.
All right, a month. And do you have any idea what's wrong with your car, and are you just going to ignore it?
My boyfriend checked me. He said it was a simple part to put on, but I haven't gotten a chance to it.
Yeah, that's not an answer. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. He's like, oh, it's just a sensor of this or a piece of that or whatever. Nope, we don't know. Could be the end of the universe for your car, actually.
It's still on. I just drive in, like, okay.
Right.
I mean, I'll get to it.
Right. But you haven't. Right.
It's only been a month.
Right. Here, good luck with that engine.
Yeah. Producer John, how long has your check engine light been on?
Well, I like to think of it as a New Year's problem. It's been about 2 months.
Certain cars, you know, certain cars, she's right. She mentioned it's a Honda. Certain cars can go longer with that light on.
And I do have a Honda.
See,
you are correct.
You know?
So, but aren't you afraid I was afraid I was going to get stuck on the side of the road coming to work.
Yes.
Yeah, your car might have.
But yeah. But you're just going to drive yours like it's no big deal?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you don't have any choice, you know.
This is my thing, is that when you don't have a choice, that does turn into a factor. Like, I know that there's something going on with the exhaust. And I'll say this, the check engine light, it comes and goes. Really, it's more of a friend at this point.
It's impulsive.
I mean, you know, when I got an oil change, it went away for like 2 weeks. Then it kind of creeped back a little bit. But, you know, what am I going to do?
You want to hear a nightmare story? Raven, what happened to you?
Well, my check engine light was on in my last vehicle for like, I don't know, a month, 2 months or whatever. And I took it to the dealership to have it checked out. I had suspicions about a problem that it had. They checked it out. They said, no, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. The check engine light went off, all that. I started to drive it again. Check engine light came back on. Granted, it's yellow. Keep it in mind, right? So I call and I say, hey, I need to get the vehicle in. Well, we're really busy. If it's yellow, you're probably fine. All right. Just, you know, let us know if it gets worse. One day in the span of 5 miles driving home, it starts to blink yellow, and then it goes to red, and then it starts to blink red, and then the car blew up.
There's a yellow option?
Yeah. Yours is red? Oh, you should get to the dealership.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, there's a difference in color codes.
You guys are nuts. I'm just saying it. This morning, I went to go turn my car on. 3 times it wouldn't turn on. And then finally, I took out the key and did like the auto start thing on it. And it started shaking and the check engine light came on. But then it seemed okay. But I said, nope, I'm not taking this car with the check engine light on.
That's it.
So I took the other car, texted my husband, said, your problem now. And he said, Anna, he goes, everybody drives with the check engine light on. And I said, that's not a real thing.
Well, I mean, if you are driving and your check engine light comes on, it tells you that you need service at some point soon, typically. It doesn't always mean that you need to immediately pull over and call for a tow.
But producer John said his has been on for 2 months, which I think is crazy. Who's had the check engine light on the longest? 1-800-330-9999. Yolanda.
quite some time. We're not sure if it's like just a sensor though, but there's a whole bunch of stuff wrong with this car that's going into the shop in the next couple of days. But yeah, it's been on for quite some time.
But you still drive it like it's no big deal? You're like, I'm going to roll these dice every day, get right on this highway. No worries.
Well, the only time it's really this car is driven is when my boyfriend takes it to the train station and parks it at the train station, which is only 5 minutes from my house.
So you're like, if you get stuck, you can walk.
So it's going into the shop in a few days. Do you have an estimate already?
Not yet. Yeah. We're guesstimating like close. We're hoping it stays under $2,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if it's anything over, like we're gonna get rid of the car.
That's
smart.
That's a lot of things wrong with the car, yeah. Right? Good
Thanks,
luck,
Samantha.
I hope you make it there.
It is Gina Getchell, and my check engine light is on.
Gina, how long has it been on?
It just went on this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Mine, too.
It's the worst feeling.
But are you driving yours?
So when I heard this, I had to call in because this is my luck.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you have any idea what's wrong with the car?
No.
Patty, how long did you drive with your check engine light on?
I have been driving with my check engine light on since June 6th. It tells me right across my display in neon red. And I had a diagnostic done, and it's going to cost me $2,300 to get a new oil pan, an oil pan gasket, and a crankshaft gasket. So I'm putting it off as long as I possibly can. I'm not looking forward to the payment.
Wow.
Girl, your car sounds like it's in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really dragging it out. Oh, yeah, I leave little leaks underneath of my car everywhere I go.
Oh, that messy friend with the messy car. Tell her not to park in our driveway. Tells you, be like, I'm not telling my friend she can't park in our. Have you seen what that car does? Tell her not to park in our driveway.
I mean, June 6th, that's like 8 months ago, maybe more. Like,
it's blinking red, and it's telling you the date. It's like it's DOA date. Right. That's not good.
Oh, gosh.
You should take that in today.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Right.
I mean, that's what the credit card is for. You better get that sucker in there. I don't know.
I was about to say, when they send you those checks, that's why you hold on to those credit card checks for moments like that.
Exactly.
All right, Ben. Is the check engine light on right now? How long was it on for?
It's on right now. Looking at me every day. You know, it's one of those things. There's no sound. There's no weird noise. I know the oil has been, you know, is done regularly. It's not a problem yet, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
How long has it been on?
At least a month and a half.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Is that a long time?
I mean, it's always the two things that always happen when you're the lowest on cash, the check engine light or the brakes.
Yeah, right.
Your brakes immediately go the day after you've been fired or lost your job. Like, that's always the way things work. I mean, sometimes you got to stretch it out.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make him an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Corner on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Dylan and Mandy. Mandy, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Well, I am ready to meet my boyfriend's parents and his daughter, but he thinks it's too soon. We talked on the phone, like, over the holidays, which were Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and his mom even wants to meet me. He's been divorced for a couple years, and his daughter's only 6. We've been together for about 6 months. I don't think it's too soon. He thinks it is.
Okay. When you said you talked to them on the phone, who did you talk to on the phone?
His mom and his family and his daughter, and said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
But, I mean, so you spoke to them. How were you introduced to them? Were you not introduced as the girlfriend? I don't understand.
Well, yeah, no. I was introduced as his girlfriend. He just doesn't want me to meet them in person yet.
Okay, Dylan, 6 months you guys have been dating. Obviously, they know she exists if she talked to them on the phone. Why wouldn't you have them meet your parents? Or is it because you have a young daughter? What's the holdup?
You know, honestly, it's mostly about my daughter. Like, I don't want her to, like, get attached if something were to happen between us, if it didn't work out. You know, she's only, like, 6. So I just feel, I don't know, I still think we need some time, and I've given Mandy, you know, the ability to talk to them on the phone. We've even FaceTimed. I've been completely open with my family. It's not a secret or anything. I'm really looking out for my daughter, that I don't want her to get her feelings hurt in case this doesn't work out.
So you're already thinking it's not going to work out. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have already introduced me to them. Why not in person?
Why wouldn't you introduce her to your parents, but maybe not your daughter?
Well, I would be more open to that, but I don't want my parents to go and say something to my daughter, and like then my daughter feels left out. And Mandy, I mean, it's only been 6 months, babe. Like, it's not like we've been together for years. You know, I just had this divorce a couple years ago. It was really hard on my daughter. That's just how I feel right now.
At what point, I mean, if he's not comfortable, Mandy, how do you force your boyfriend to introduce you to his family if he's not comfortable doing it?
Yeah, then it doesn't feel very genuine when it happens.
I know, but I just think that it's time. I think he just wrapped up in his head about this. I think if he hears people say that 6 months isn't too soon, then he'll understand, like, it's not irrational for me to want to meet them.
I mean, I understand that, too. I don't know if there is a timeline. We've certainly discussed this in the past, and I think as a parent, you know when the right time is, but I can also see being hesitant about it. Is 6 months too soon to meet a child and to meet the parents?
Yeah, every situation has got to be different, I'm sure. But, you know, when you hear hesitation, I also understand, you know, how you're feeling when you think to yourself, well, you know, it's been 6 months. We're already talking on the phone. What is it we're waiting for? Yeah. And you hear his hesitation in the answer. Yeah, I get it. That could be a problem.
6 months, is that too soon to meet your boyfriend's parents and his six-year-old daughter?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
You're dating somebody for 6 months. Is that too soon to meet his six-year-old daughter and his parents? Well, according to Mandy, nope. And she has no idea why her boyfriend Dylan is so hesitant for her to meet them all.
Dylan says, listen, a divorce was rough on my daughter, and I'm not in a rush right now. Everything is great. Here's the part that I can't figure out is that, you know, you're having them have phone conversations. They had phone conversations around Christmas time, introduced her as your girlfriend over the phone, and then didn't get to see the face after. That part is a bit confusing to me. The hesitation in his voice is a little bit confusing. If you don't believe it's time, just state, I don't believe it's time, and that's it, and it's my choice.
Yeah, but he did. And she said, well, it's because he's having this hesitation and that he just needs to hear from other people that it's okay. 6 months is long enough and secure enough in our relationship for us to move forward.
Or I can wait as long as I want to. That's what he wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear us say, oh, no, you should do it today.
But what do you think? 6 months? 1-800-330-9999. Keith, whose side are you on?
I am on the girlfriend side with this one. It's 6 months. I mean, 6 months is, I think, ample enough time to be in a relationship with someone. I think that maybe something is not being told 100%, and there might be an issue there. I would also question the ex in this case as well and find out, like, what her situation is. She's still in the picture? Is she still around? You know, what happened there? But otherwise, definitely on the girlfriend's side with it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. You're dating somebody for 6 months. Is that long enough to meet their six-year-old daughter and their parents? Because Mandy thinks so. She's been dating Dylan for 6 months, and everything's been going great over the holidays. He even let her get on the phone and say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. But the problem is Dylan just doesn't want her to meet them in person.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. It's hurtful if you're Mandy and you're wondering, what is the problem here? Like, why are we holding things up? You know, it feels like this relationship is going good. And again, you've let me talk to your kids. You've let me talk to your parents and say Merry Christmas. So it seems a little bit strange that I wouldn't meet them face to face. On the other hand, you know, Dylan is the gateway to his family. And he decides who walks in that door and who doesn't.
She just thinks he's hesitant because the divorce was 2 years ago and his daughter is young. And he just needs verification from others to say, it's okay, we can take this next step. Well, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Andre, whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. I was in the same situation. I got divorced. I met someone that I care about. And she didn't meet my kids for a year. And there is really no timeline for it. It's just more of just being more comfortable with yourself and reaching that timeline within yourself.
Right.
You got to feel comfortable and to make it the right time. So she needs to stop pushing it. If she pushes it, if I was in issues, you know, I'd be like, that's it. I got to go.
You know what? I mean, you're the advocate for your children, not her, not anybody else. So I guess that makes sense. Thanks for the call.
Correct.
Hey, Mickey, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend's side. He sounds very genuine about protecting his daughter, and I think that's something the girlfriend should really
be conscious about. If he's saying he doesn't want her to get attached, he's looking out for his daughter's best interest. And I think they should just enjoy the honeymoon period right now.
Hey, Jim, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I'm on the young lady's side. And I, my only thing is to everybody wants to protect everybody's feelings. So I understand the gentleman's feelings. But you know what? We all can't protect everybody's feelings. If he shelters the young lady, the young daughter, it'll be harder on her when she grows up. He's got to let her see. She already saw what the mom did, whatever happened with the mom. So he's just trying to be protective. But 6 months, guy, it's time. You got to give it up. Either your young lady with you, your girlfriend is going to be part of your life or not. 6 months is plenty of time.
Seems like a lot of jumps, right? Like, I mean, we have no idea what happened in the divorce. Mm. No idea whatsoever.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mandy, our audience agreed with you. Dylan, people felt that 6 months was an appropriate amount of time. Now, if you feel like maybe your relationship isn't at the point where long enough that you don't think she'll be around, that's a different conversation that you guys have to have.
And a serious one.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't understand. I think that we're doing great, and I think it's perfect timing in our relationship for this.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. I totally do. I would be more comfortable when we move in with each other. That can be the point, because that's when things will get really serious. That's just kind of what I've thought in my mind.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So is that something we're ready for? Because I think that we could be.
Well, I did talk to you about my lease, you know, ending soon, and I thought maybe we could either renew it together or move into a bigger place. I think it would be great. So it is on the horizon, you know. I just say we keep going as is and see where it goes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds like it's going to be an interesting moving weekend.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Daddy didn't want you to meet her, but now we're moving in together.
That's right. Say hello to your new mommy.
That's a quick leap,
whoa,
guys. All right. We wish you the best. And if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,300 thanks to Cricket. Switch to Cricket and let your flip era unfold by getting the all-new extraordinary Motorola Razr for just $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket. Hey, Stephanie, you ready to play today?
Oh, yes, I'm so excited.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
All right, Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Steph.
All right, Stephanie, here's how it works. Raven's walking out of here. That big old door is going to close. It's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in and get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, number one, Melissa McCarthy let Billie Eilish autograph her face with a Sharpie during the SAG Awards. What does SAG stand for?
Oh my gosh. I'm panicking. The SAG-AFTRA Awards. I don't know the name of it.
That's okay. Number two, the Bob Marley biopic, Bob Marley One Love, was number one at the box office for the second week in a row. Bob Marley was from what island country?
Jamaica.
Number three, Flava Flav claims that Miley Cyrus smacked him in the face after he confused her with another singer. Flava Flav was part of what hip-hop group that formed in 1985?
God, I have no idea.
That's okay.
I don't know.
Number four, the viewing age for Mary Poppins increased in the UK because of, and I quote, discriminatory language. Mary Poppins used what object as a parachute?
Umbrella.
And number five, a Dutch man who's calling himself Dutch Forrest Gump is walking barefoot across America to help raise awareness for men's mental health. In Forrest Gump, Forrest met with what president when receiving the Medal of Honor for his heroism?
Oh my God,
was it?
I don't know.
That's okay.
Sorry, I don't know.
That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in. Not bad.
Okay.
Yo.
Stephanie got 2 right.
All righty.
Number one, Melissa McCarthy let Billie Eilish autograph her face with a Sharpie during the SAG Awards. What does SAG stand for?
Screen Actors Guild.
Yes. Number two, the Bob Marley biopic, Bob Marley One Love, number one at the box office for a second week in a row.
Congrats.
Bob Marley was from what island country?
Come on, Jamaica.
Yes. Number three, Flava Flav claims that Miley Cyrus smacked him in the face after he confused her with another singer. I have to know who he confused her with. Who did he think she was?
I heard it was Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani?
Yeah.
No, that's a big, big difference, Gwen Stefani and Miley Cyrus.
Well, you got to know that in Flavor Flav's mind, time is a flat circle. And they could be the same. Same age, parallel universes.
Flavor Flav was part of what hip-hop group that formed in 1985?
Public Enemy number one, boy! Public Enemy!
Number four, the viewing age for Mary Poppins increased in the UK because of discriminatory language. Mary Poppins uses what object as a parachute?
An umbrella.
And number five, a Dutch man who's calling himself the Dutch Forrest Gump is walking barefoot across America to help raise awareness for men's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
In Forrest Gump, Forrest met with what president when receiving the Medal of Honor for his heroism?
God, he met with two presidents, didn't he? There was a JFK thing in there, but JFK would be dead at the end of Vietnam. So Eisenhower?
No, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Ah, Lyndon B. Johnson, that's it.
Oh, Lyndon B. Johnson, that guy!
Got my wars confused there.
I'm sorry, Stephanie. 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
My name is Stephanie, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,400 tomorrow, Anna.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Trying?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.